I've been talking to you guys a lot about the people who are fighting back and how few they are, who are fighting back against the totalitarianism that's been spreading throughout the Western world under the guise of COVID or other things. But there are few people speaking out, even amongst the church. And I'm joined today, and I'm glad to be joined, by one of the few people who has been willing to open his church services and fight back. And that's Pastor Arthur Pavlovsky. Welcome so much to the show. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me in.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about you and why this fight is so important to you.
Well, first of all, I want to say to you that I really like the name, the Crusader Gal. That's awesome, because crusades are totally misunderstood. People don't have the facts. They don't know what's really went on. We have in Europe been attacked by the Muslims that were taking they're taking over the whole world, and that was the response to the attack of the Muslims on the peaceful Europeans at that time. So they returned and they started to do those crusades to push the evil away. And I guess right now we have to start doing the same thing, because the evil is creeping in all around us, left and right, and it's insane. Just 2 days ago, my house was attacked. Someone lit it on fire. So I'm dealing with the detectives right now. I'm dealing with the police, the firefighters. It's insane. It's a very intense fight, but I'm not quitting. And this ordeal with the COVID hysteria, with the COVID lie, started 15 months ago when the officers came and declared that feeding the homeless people and preaching the gospel and congregating is illegal. I disagreed. I ended up with a $1,200 ticket. I was the first clergyman in Canada to get the COVID ticket. And that started a big fight. For 15 months, I'm fending off those hyenas.
Yeah, so first of all, I'm glad that you get the Crusader thing. I do it to try and remind people of the fact that there was a time when Christians were willing to fight back for what was right. And I'm glad that you get that more than most, apparently. You recently made the news for your dramatic arrest in the middle of a highway, as if you were like a terrorist or a drug lord or something, right? And I do want to get to that. But you rewound, and I like that, because I want to talk about the entire saga. For about 15 months, right? Essentially, church services in your area have been banned by the fiat of the government. What's that been like? You've had the police showing up, what, routinely to give you tickets?
Yes, I got, you know, I got total over 300 tickets. In the last year, I got 29 tickets. And like I said, it started in March when the government sent me a letter and saying that they cannot longer feed the poor. That's against the law. And let's just tell your listeners what we are doing. What we're doing is we are feeding the homeless people, people that are living under the bridges in bushes. Those are people that don't go to shelters for all kinds of different reasons, because of abuse of substance or because of violence, because they're hiding from authorities. Half of the most wanted people in Canada are at Street Church. That's the name of the organization we started. So we are feeding the people that no one else wants to feed, no one else wants to have anything to do with them. Also, the government of Canada shut down the mental institutions. So half of our clients are mentally challenged and they don't comprehend what's going on. They don't understand and they snap at people and they bring trauma from shelters. So we are their only place where they can get the necessities of life. However, we have a Muslim homosexual mayor, and he doesn't care. He got his fat, big salary. The first thing he did when he was elected the mayor, he gave himself a raise to be the highest paid, mayor in the whole country. So it's total insanity. The level of corruption is shocking. Yeah. At every corner, the government is so corrupted, and they're stealing, robbing, cheating, raising taxes and blowing our money away. And they do not care about the homeless people. Homelessness is a big fat business for most of the people, where about $230 million are being washed, because they are acting like mafia every single year. So that gives you an idea. We're talking about two major cities, $230 million every single year is going somewhere to the politicians and to the corrupted people that are saying they're helping the poor, okay?
Right.
So anyway, I was very active in speaking, posing the corruption, the hypocrisy, and the lie of the government, this huge corruption. And of course, naturally, I became a number one enemy of the state, if you will, and the media started to write stories about me and accuse me of being a white supremacist and racist. And even though, of course, I feed half of my clients are Native Americans or colored people, half of our church are colored people, Asians from China. We have Native Americans. We have people from Africa. We have Jamaicans. You know, it doesn't matter. The church is open for everyone. If you want to come and listen, you're welcome to come and listen. I don't see people because of the color of their skin. I see them because of the blood of Jesus. But those villains, those BLM and Antifa, you know, brown shirts of Adolf Hitler, they don't care about that. They care only about the propaganda that they are trying to give to the people. They're violent, they're hateful, they have an agenda. So fast forward, we have authorities coming to our church and we receive ticket after ticket after ticket. We had police videotaping, taking pictures, intimidating our parishioners, harassing our volunteers, and sometimes the numbers of officers were was bigger than the number of clients. So that gives you an idea of the insanity of what we have been facing. I think the culmination of this whole harassment came when the government of Canada and the provincial government with the municipal government declared that they're canceling Christmas. They're saying that Christmas is canceled, it's going to be illegal, and you cannot leave your house, you cannot see your parents, you cannot have family dinners, you cannot have your brother in your house because you will be ticketed without mercy and potentially arrested.
It's insane.
So what I did, I invited the whole community to come to our Christmas celebration, and lots of people showed up. We fed hundreds of homeless people. We distributed gifts to the homeless. And of course, it's Christmas after all. We had Christmas carolers. We had speeches. We had pastors, testimonies. And we had over 100 police officers, 52 police cars. We had 20 cops on bicycles, and we were videotaped by them, recorded, pictures were taken. Some people end up with tickets, and I end up with 11 COVID tickets for my horrible crime of giving gifts to the homeless. So that's on the streets. I run two churches. I'm a pastor of two churches. One is on the streets where we feed the homeless people. Another one is where I teach. I teach history, I teach theology, and that's the building. We are meeting every Saturday because we are on the street Sunday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, and we are Saturday morning inside the building. And they left us be for 2020. However, beginning of 2021, they showed up at our parking lot and they blocked it, preventing people from coming in. And intimidation started again. They wanted to force themselves to come in into the building. I stopped them. I kicked them out from the parking lot. Eventually, an hour later, they left and we could continue with our worship. And their intimidation tactics didn't work. But let me add something that is very fascinating as I'm looking as this story is unfolding. Majority of the cops that are dealing with us are Brits. So they are immigrants to Canada from Britain. Also, they are Asians. It's very fascinating that it's not a lot of Canadians, born Canadians here, that are willing to enforce this craziness on their own people. They're using foreigners to crack on freedoms and people's rights.
That must be especially galling. But before you go on, when you say Asians, this is such a broadly used term now. Do you mean like Chinese, Japanese, or do you mean like the Arab world in Britain that they say Asian to mean like, you know, Arab? What do you mean?
The Chinese people.
Okay. I gotcha. Yeah. It must be especially galling to have somebody who is from another country come and infringe upon the freedoms that you are guaranteed to have as part of being Canadian, right? I mean, there is something in Canada about, you know, free expression and about, you know, freedom of religion. It's not obviously as protected as it ought to be, but that is the promise. So that was the promise when I believe you came from Poland. Is that not correct?
That's right. I grew up behind the communism, you know, under communist dictatorship, under the boots of the Soviets, behind the Iron Curtain. So I firsthand experienced the atrocities that the communists party did to my country, completely destroyed us economically, destroyed us psychologically. People are depressed. That's why so many people are drunkards, because especially from the older generation, because there was hopelessness. The government was cracking so hard, you could be arrested at any moment for whatever reason they think. There was this famous saying by the police, give us a man and we will find something on that man. There was a lawlessness. There was no rule or rule of law. We had a constitution in Poland. However, the communists don't care about your human rights. They don't care about constitution. They don't care about law and order. They care about you are to obey or else. You are to obey us. We are gods. The party is the state religion, and our Stalin is God, and you are to worship that or else. So many people said or else, and were murdered, arrested. As Europe was celebrating the victory over the Nazis, Poland was subdued forcefully by the Soviets, and tens of thousands of Poles were murdered by the Soviet Union, and the whole country was taken over. So I grew up seeing all of that stuff. I grew up in a country where the government was telling you how much meat you can buy, how much sugar you can have. They were telling you what and how and when and with whom you are allowed. It was constant harassment, constant intimidation, no laws whatsoever. It was like seeing officers, like gangsters walking through the streets, just looking whom they can hurt. So that's me growing up. Going back to the story in Canada, we started to see them taking pictures of our children and women outside of our property. When I told them they're trespassing, they left, only to come back with the big lens cameras. And again, the Chinese people, the Chinese health inspectors, took pictures of our children and our women. Why is this so important? Because during the Gestapo era and during the KGB, you know, communism, socialistic takeover of our country, that was exactly the tactics that they were using against men. If they couldn't murder a man for whatever reason, they would go after the family, they would go after the children, they would threaten him with the children, we're going to take your children away, we're going to go after your wife, we know where she works, and you know, we can rape her, we can arrest her, we can do all kinds of things to you. So if you think you can, you know, if you're a tough guy and you are not afraid for your own safety, we're going to go after your family. And they started to do exactly the same thing here in Canada. They're going after the children. They're going after the women, the wives. So I fend them off. We made a big sting out of this, and they've left only to come back a few weeks later. And that's the video that I think most of the people on earth watched. It was the number one played video during the Easter celebration when, behold, I'm starting the service and people are starting to come to the church. And who do I see? I see armed officers with their guns, their tasers in their uniforms, and a health inspector, wannabe tyrant, walking into the holy place, walking into the sanctuary. So the only thing I had in my heart at that time was, get out. I mean, who do you think you people are? Get out of this place. And I chased them away, and it took me over 30 times to tell them, get out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and they did eventually leave. And that was a video that became famous, I think, because it inspired a lot of people to see somebody who was actually willing to stand up, you know, a pastor who was actually willing to stand up and do what you did. It really was inspiring. If I'm not mistaken, the premier, which is like the governor in the United States, it would be, of Ontario, actually said that he would crush you. Is that right? I mean, it just seems so extreme of a statement for a politician.
That was not the premier of Ontario. Ontario is another province. We are living in Alberta, next to Montana. Uh-huh. So the premier of Alberta, Jason Kenney, came in front of the reporters and he says, I will crush the Pavlovskis. And I'm thinking to myself, excuse me, you're going to crush me and my family, because he included my whole family. Excuse me, for what exactly? I'm feeding you people for 22 years, not charging you a penny. I'm saving millions upon millions of dollars of taxpayers' money for what I do. I do not charge anyone. I do not take a penny from the government. I'm doing this using volunteers, and I'm a volunteer as myself. And I'm opening the church, talking to people, praying with people, assisting the suicidals. assisting the sick, helping the poor, and you're going to crush my family because I dare to be a Christian, I dare to be a pastor in a free and democratic society. But that's the level. That shows you the level of corruption in the province of Alberta, how far they have fallen from the truth. They are wicked, evil leaders.
Mm-hmm.
They hate Judeo-Christian values. They hate Christianity with a passion. And the fascinating thing about this wannabe tyrant, Jason Kenney, the premier of Alberta, is this, that he goes to a Catholic church and he claims to be a Christian. Can you imagine?
No, not yet. But
he should be excommunicated by the Catholic Church. He should be excommunicated because he has become the persecutor of Christians, persecutor of pastors in the province.
You know, it would be something for a politician behind closed doors to talk about crushing somebody. It would be bad enough if it was something that he said secretly to his aides or something. But for a politician to come out publicly and say, we're going to go out, we're going to crush this man and his family, is just so kind of Orwellian and really, frankly, Soviet, you know? It really is. And that's the sort of thing that we're starting to see spread throughout the Western world that, you know, up until now, we've considered to be pretty free. And, you know, there's your case, and then there's, you know, Andrew Tauber of Gab, who his family, like his wife, can't have a credit card now because, you know, he allows different people to speak on a website that he created. And it really does point in a very dark direction. I want to ask you, because I've not heard anybody else ask this, and I want to know, why do you think it's important to stand up when so many other people don't? Like, I look around, you know, the country, or countries rather, and there is such a small group of people who are willing to stand up, including in the church, such a small group of pastors who think that this is so important, as I do. Why do you think it's worth fighting for?
You know, first of all, because we work for the God that is a just God. He is the judge of judges. In the end of the day, the Bible says that the truth will set the captives free. I mean, we are being surrounded right now with lie after lie after lie. We are being fed propaganda nonstop everywhere, 7 times a week, pretty much at every outlet that is out there that works for the communistic government, tyrant government right now. So, going back to the Bible, God is requiring us, his children, to go out there and be courageous. That's the first thing. He says 3 times to Joshua when he was called to do the good thing, to lead people into the promised land, to possess the land. He says to him 3 times, be courageous. I've told you to be courageous. Haven't I said to you, be courageous? So he's reminding us through that scripture and many other scriptures, because I don't know if you're aware, in the Bible, there is 365 times that God is telling you and me, do not fear or fear not. You know, he's telling you, be courageous. Because why? Because if he's for us, who can be against us? If our God, the creator of heavens and the earth, has chosen us to do a task for such a time as this, like during the time of Esther, then he's telling us, do not worry, I am on your side. And when God and you are coming together, you're always the majority. Even if the whole world goes nuts and 7 billion people are against you, but if God is for you, you are the majority. That's why it's so important to align yourself with the truth, because the truth will set many other captives free. You see, when we were enemies of God, God saved us. When we were his enemies, he saved us. That means there's many people that are God's enemies, but he has the same desire to do to them as he did to us, to set us free. And he has you and me to do our part. You know, this is how I see the kingdom of God. I see the Father having his kingdom. He created everything. He gave us everything we need. And he is inviting you and me, and he's stretching his hands. He says, come, my children, to my kingdom and be part of my kingdom. Don't just sit on the fence. Don't just watch, but come and become part. It's like a business, company business. The Father owns it, and he's inviting his children to be part of the family business. Kingdom of God is a family business. He's a family-oriented God, and he's saying to you and me, come and stand up for what's right. Come and do what's right. And it's always the right thing to do what's right. So I believe it's so important for the men and women of God to rise up, because God is watching. And it's a fascinating scripture in the Bible that it says God is walking around the earth looking whom he can use. And there was this one fascinating man. He stands up and this is what he says: "Here I am, Lord." And that's my answer to God. I'm not this special individual. I'm not super talented. Like, listen to my English. Come on. I speak broken English with a heavy accent. Oh, I lost you here.
Yep, and you're back.
I don't know why, just a second. Mm-hmm. That's weird. It's not allowing me to block the calls. So, okay. You know, so he's looking at you and me, and he's walking around and he's saying, "Will you go for me? Will you stand up for the truth? Will you do what's right?" And our answer has to be very simple, just like that man's answer. "Here I am, Lord, use me." You know, people are saying all the time, I don't have the talents. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to speak. I don't know how to sing. I don't, like, what can I do? But you see, we have to understand that in the kingdom of God, God is the one that gives talents to people. God. Mm-hmm. So he is perfectly capable of giving you what you need. If he thinks you need to be able to speak, he's going to give you that. If he thinks that you're lacking wisdom, he's going to give you that. If you think you're lacking knowledge, then he's going to give it to you, or connect to the right people that you will get the knowledge. So the only thing that God wants us to do is to say to him, "Here I am, Lord, use me. I'm willing to push the evil away. I'm willing to be the light in the darkness. I'm willing to be the salt." And, you know, I used to cook a lot. Now I have lots of volunteers, so I don't have that privilege often. But when I was pretty much alone with my wife, I used to cook a lot of food for the homeless in those big pots. And my specialty was chili. And I'm telling you, God can teach you a lot when you're cooking. I mean, you're alone, you're putting all the ingredients. And he says the kingdom of God is like that chili. A colorful. You got to put a lot of things inside, because everyone brings its unique flavor. But also, do not forget about spices, because if you're not going to put spices into whatever you're cooking, it will be tasteless. So what happened for the past 30, 40 years in the church, we have become tasteless. We have not been adding the salt. And when salt loses its saltiness, it's useless. It's good for nothing and will be trampled by men. What you're experiencing right now is the society that is saying, and the government and the media is saying to you, "You're useless. You're unessential services. We don't want you. You're good for nothing. Please go and die and close right. your churches." So we have to go back to the basics. We have to go back to the foundation, to the book of Acts, and we have to start being relevant to what the people are facing today. That's why it's so important for the churches not to shut down. That's why it's so important for the pastors to preach and speak, because people are leaderless society. The politicians have betrayed them. They should be charged for treason. The pastors have abandoned them. The clergymen have run away, and they are doing Zoom chats, and the people are dying. So God is raising up. That's why it's so important for us to rise up right now, because people are looking for the real deal. We have entered the greatest time in our lifetime to be able to influence the masses, because people are lost. They're looking for anyone. I'm being contacted by tens of thousands of people, Muslims, Buddhists, atheists, telling me, "Wow, we were waiting for someone like this. We don't believe in your God, but we're going to go back to church." And people said, atheists, "You know, we don't believe. We're not believers, but we're going to start reading the Bible." That's our time to shine.
So basically right now, and I have noticed this myself, that perhaps the silver lining of the experiences that we're having is that good people are being seen now. They're being given a chance to lead, and I think that's what we're seeing, and that's what we see in your case. It's disturbing that there are so few people who are answering that call, but I am glad to see someone like you who's inspiring others. And on that topic of inspiring others, you're in part a growing political force, because you're trying to change your local government. You're encouraging people who will stand up and replace some of these tyrants, right?
That's right. We have become very, very aggressive if it comes to politics. Why? I have been widely criticized by clergymen. You know, why you're getting involved with those non-believers? Why are you getting involved with those weird people smoking marijuana, sometimes drinking, you know, mm-hmm. like sometimes those people are rough, but I don't know what kind of a Bible they're reading, because in my Bible it says that Jesus was accused of what? Of being a friend of sinners. He was accused of being a drunkard, and we know Jesus was not a drunkard. He just hung around with questionable characters. Right. He was seen being among prostitutes, among tax collectors, around people that didn't look good. Maybe they didn't go to the synagogue, but they needed Jesus. And he says it so clearly, is this sick people. Sick people are of a need of a physician. Because healthy people are not looking for a doctor, but people that are troubled, messed up, that's where the doctor is needed the most. And Jesus, of course, understood that, and he's saying the same thing to us. So what we decided to do, being a Christian for over 30 years and in a leadership position for 20-some years, I've seen everything. I preach on during conferences to the pastors. I hang around with pastors all my life, and I'm telling you, majority of them are dead. And I mean, I'm not exaggerating. Majority of those leaders are absolutely dead. They are useless. They are only doing this for business. It's a corporation for them. They're entertainers. They're not shepherds of God's people. They're just entertainers, and they're motivational speakers so the money can flow. And that's how they run their churches. They run the churches as corporations. And listen to me, I used to be a businessman, and that's exactly how I used to run my companies. Corporations. I used to hire up to 100 people, and you got to run that business in such a way that brings profit. The churches are being run right now in such a way that they are bringing enormous profit, and that's what the whole gig is all about. They have walked away from the heart of God. Jesus says, if you love me, obey my commandments. They're not obeying. They're in open rebellion towards God. And rebellion, the Bible says, is like a spirit of divination. It's like a witchcraft. So now majority of those people, so-called Christians, are engaged in witchcraft, which is not a funny thing. That's why they're so messed up. That's why you got pastors that are forcing people to wear a muzzle, like on a dog. That's why you got pastors that are not opening churches. That's why you got pastors that gladly took a Zoom, because the money is still flowing, but they don't have to risk anything. They don't have to stand up for anything. I mean, it's easy to talk to a computer screen instead of actually paying the price. Jesus says, pick up your cross daily and follow me. That means there's going to be a price to be paid. So we decided that because for 30, 40 years, the church has withdrawn itself from the political arena, and now we're being ruled by devils, demon-possessed, evil, wicked, corrupted individuals. We decided to change that from the inside out. So we have now in our church, we get 11 candidates that are running in this upcoming municipal election. When the federal or provincial elections are going to start coming, we're going to have an army. We have now thousands of people showing up at our rallies. And that's why the government started to fear us. Because you got to remember, we are exposing corruption. We are raising politicians, a new breed of politicians, and we are heavily involved in exposing their lie, bringing doctors and nurses and other people during the rallies, where thousands of people are having phone, they're recording all of those speeches, and they are sending to hundreds of thousands or millions, perhaps, of other individuals. So they can no longer hold on to the lie. They cannot hold this charade, this sham, this lie, this manipulation and disinformation when the people are coming together and there is an exchange of information. The truth is setting the captives free. So what the government decided to do, because they're corrupted, evil gangsters, they're mafia, what they started to do is they went to the court in a secret meeting and they obtained a court document telling them basically you can go and arrest anyone you want, just like the Russians did, just like the communists and the Gestapo did. That's why I'm calling them Gestapo and KGB and whatever else I can think, fascist, communists, whatever comes to my mind from that era, because they are acting like fascists. They're acting like Gestapo, SS. They're acting like communists because they're using identical tactics. They have deprived people from the rights, the freedoms that we have fundamentally guaranteed to us, but no more, because those wannabe tyrants are taking away those rights. So we started to see not only tickets, but as you know, when I chased the Gestapo away from the church, they showed up with a SWAT team a few weeks after. So SWAT team is demanding that I would let them in into the into the house of worship. I said no. They took off, came back after half hour. They tried it again, took off. And then their response was, okay, we're going to teach you a lesson. And they came last Saturday, a week ago, and they came with a SWAT team again. They opened the door of the church, and I thought, okay, that's it. I'm going to be dragged from the pulpit. Right. You know, I was expecting that they're going to arrest me inside the church, but they didn't do it. They dropped a little package, which I didn't see. I was already worshiping with God, mm-hmm. with other people, performing my duty as a clergyman. And they dropped the package on the floor and they left. So people yelled from the back and said, the Gestapo took off. The SWAT team, the anti-terrorists, they took off. I said, oh, praise God. So I'm not going to be arrested today. Good. And I continued my service. I preached and people left home. We packed, we cleaned the church like we always do. And we went to the car driving home. On the way home, however, the anti-terrorists were waiting for us and they stopped us in the middle of the highway, a busy highway, and right. they declared that I'm under arrest. And for the ride, they took my brother as well. I mean, think about it. This is what Kenny said, the premier of Alberta, I will crush Pavlovskis. So right. the crime of my brother was that he's my brother. I was the one that was guilty of opening church. I was the one that was guilty of officiating the church service. So if you want to crack on someone, crack on me. I'm the guilty one, according to your illegal law. However, they wanted to hurt the family, not just me, but also my brother and anyone else that they could find. So me and my brother, we got arrested, manhandled, tortured. Like literally, we were tortured in prison. We were deprived of being able to sleep for 2 nights and 2 days. They put shackles on our feet like terrorists. It was insanity. It was absolutely insanity.
When you were arrested, you know, so we're back on the highway and they put you inside of the vehicle. And if I'm not mistaken, they over-tightened the handcuffs to actually cause bruising. Is that right?
What they did, they shoved me into a police van okay. on my back. So the way they are arresting people right now is they put the handcuffs behind your back, but they have a way of twisting one of your hands in such a way that causes enormous pain. So they did that to me, and my hands are behind my back, and I'm being shoved backwards. So my head is down, my back is down, my hands are behind my back, and they shoved me down to the police van. However, I'm not a small guy, okay?
Right.
My brother is even bigger than me. So we're not little guys. And I just did not fit into that little box because the police van, this version of that van is very, very small. The box is very, very tiny. And it's only meant for one inmate to be traveled from a destination to prison or to jail or to court, whatever they're taking. Mm-hmm. And there are benches. There's one bench here, very short for okay. one person. And across there's another bench. So you got tiny little, maybe damage. You got mm-hmm. tiny little space between. So they shoved me in that tiny little space and my feet were sticking out. And didn't matter what they were doing. They were just not fitting me inside that box. I just like the feet were sticking out. Yeah. So officer is saying to another officer, he says, if he kicks you, I'm going to charge him with assault of the peace officer. And I'm thinking, oh boy, they're going to try to pin anything on me at this yeah. moment, whatever they can find just to hurt me. And I'm laying on my back. My head is on the floor. My feet are sticking out because I'm just not fitting in this little box. And I'm being now accused almost of assaulting a peace officer, which is a criminal charge. And I have no camera rolling. I have no way of saying that never happened. And I did my best to help them out. So this is how it looked like. My head was on the floor with my mm-hmm. back, with my entire body, pushing on my hands and the handcuffs. That's why for 4 days I had bruises.
It sounds really painful.
Extremely painful. And I'm not a guy, you know, I have been a teacher of martial art for many years. I have black belt in martial art. And I'm telling you, I'm used to pain. This was extremely painful. extremely painful. This was torture. This was a form of torturing for
They're
1 hour.
Torturing you and terrorizing you by arresting your brother at the same time. You know, like, we're going to go for your family is the